Jesus said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We know that there are plenty of temptations out there from the world, the flesh, and the devil. So how are we supposed to avoid hell? How are we supposed to save our soul? One of the most important means is devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. The saints say that devotion to Mary is a sign of salvation. That's why the Catholic Church calls the Blessed Virgin the Gate of Heaven. Today, then, we're going to take a look at this very consoling subject to see why you should be devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary in 2 points. Firstly, because Mary is your spiritual mother. And second, because she is the refuge of sinners. Let's start with our first point. Mary is your spiritual mother. And she became your spiritual mother twice over. The first time was at the Incarnation, when she became the Mother of God. At that moment, God the Father gave this special privilege to Our Lady so that all of his graces come to us only through her immaculate hands. Now, it is true that Jesus is our one and only Savior, and it's his wounds which are the source of all grace for us. But Our Lady is this channel, or this aqueduct, that brings God's graces to our soul. It's true also that Jesus is the sole mediator of justice between us and God the Father. But Our Lady is a mediatrix of grace and of mercy between us and her divine Son. And the Blessed Virgin became your spiritual mother a second time over as she was standing at the foot of the cross. As Jesus was dying, he turned to his mother and, referring to St. John, said, "Woman, behold your son." And to St. John, Jesus said, "Behold your mother." The fathers of the church say that St. John stood there at the foot of the cross in place of each one of us, so that Our Lady truly is your spiritual mother. And as we know, every mother loves her children and wants to help them. Our Lady is no different. She will help take care of you, not only in your spiritual needs, but in your temporal needs as well. You remember how the Blessed Virgin helped the newlywed couple at the wedding feast of Cana. All that was going to happen was that the newlyweds would be somewhat embarrassed by having run short of wine during the marriage feast. And yet, Our Lady's maternal heart went out to that young couple, and she had Jesus work his first miracle on their behalf. So Our Lady, like God, may not answer our prayers exactly the way we're hoping or the way we would like her to, but she will always give us what's best for our salvation. Let me give you an example of this. About 20 years ago, I ran into a friend of mine. We had gone to college together at St. Mary's, Kansas, back in the 1980s. And when I ran into her 20 years ago, she was living with her parents up in the Reno, Nevada area, up in the Sierra Nevada mountains. And she was telling me about her father, who, of course, I remembered from St. Mary's. And she said that her father, who was not an old man at that time, he was maybe in his late 50s, he had had a series of heart attacks that had brought him to death's door. And the doctors had taken a scan of his heart, and they told him, saying, "Look," they said, "here's the scan of your heart we took just now. You're operating on less than 20% of your heart." They said, "That's way too little for someone your age. You've got to avoid any kind of stressors in your life, because if you have one more heart attack, it's gonna be your last." And so the adult kids who were still living at home, they took Dad back home from the hospital. And of course, they were trying to be really careful to make sure there was nothing too stressful in the house. She told me that things had gone well for about 6 weeks when suddenly another big stressor hit the household, and the adult children took Dad down to the emergency room thinking he was going to have another heart attack. So the doctors wheeled him in, they took another scan of his heart, and then they came to his hospital room shaking their heads. And of course, they did not use the word miracle, but they said, we cannot explain this medically. They said, here's the scan that we took of your heart 6 weeks ago where you were operating on less than 20% of your heart. That's way too little for someone your age. Here's the scan we took just now, and you're operating on more than 80% of your heart. That's more than someone your age. They said, we cannot explain this medically, but you're actually good to go home. You are going to be fine. You are not going to have another heart attack. You can do what you like. You want to go skiing? Go skiing. Now, whenever you get a big change like this, you know that the Mother of God has got to be behind it. So I asked my friend from college, I said, by any chance, have you been saying any prayers to Our Lady for your father's health? And she said, well, I've been doing the Rosary Novena. As you may know, a Rosary of Novenas is 27 days of rosaries, asking Our Lady from a grace from God, a particular grace from God, and then followed by another 27 days of rosaries in thanksgiving for that grace, even if it hasn't yet been granted. So you see that Our Lady heard the daughter's prayers on behalf of her father's health. So Our Lady will help you even in the temporal necessities of life. But if she's willing to help you with these material needs, don't you think that she'll be even more willing to help you with the spiritual needs of life, to make sure that you and your loved ones get to heaven? Again, Our Lady, like God, won't always give us exactly what we're asking for, but she will always give you exactly what you need for your eternal happiness. Here's another story. Again, about 20 years ago, I was occasionally filling in for the SSPX priests in Hawaii. And on the north shore of Oahu, there was a little old couple of Portuguese descent. About that time, they were maybe in their early to mid-80s. And they had been devoted to the Blessed Virgin their entire lives. They always were faithful with their daily rosary, prayed, and they gave that devotion to their children and their grandchildren. By this time, they were even great-grandparents. Now, because of their poor health, of course, they couldn't make it to Mass when the priest came there each month. And so on the Sunday when the priest was there, he'd always go over the mountains and go to give them the sacraments at their home. Now, over the months and years, we saw Alice, their names were Walter and Alice, and we saw Alice's mental capacity steeply decline because Alice had a bad case of Alzheimer's disease. Towards the end, it got so bad that she had forgotten everything, even her husband. The last time I went there, Walter opens the door to me and he says, Father, she's forgotten everything, even me. I came in for breakfast one morning and she said, where's Walter? I said, I'm Walter. She said, no, you're not. And then she took out this picture of him when he was a dashing 20-year-old. She said, that's Walter. So the last time I was there, I went into the living room to see if Alice was there enough to make a confession or not. She looks up at me and she says, are you Walter? And I said, no, Alice, I am not your husband. She had forgotten everything, including her husband. But there was one thing that Alice still remembered. Her Hail Mary. It was so edifying. It was like Our Lady was rewarding Alice for this lifelong devotion that Alice had had to the Blessed Virgin. It was like Our Lady was really rewarding her and preparing her for eternity, because with that degree of Alzheimer's disease, Alice was like a little child again. She could not offend God anymore. It was like by this time she really did have a one-way ticket to heaven. And so that when Alice would go to her eternity, it was like the one thing she would be able to take with her to present to God was the Hail Mary. And so that last time when I was there, everyone knelt down in the living room to pray the rosary together with Alice. And Alice could not remember the Apostles' Creed. She couldn't even remember the Our Father. But when we came to the Hail Marys, Alice could pray the entire Hail Mary by herself. That's 50 Hail Marys in one rosary. And so as I left there that morning, Walter takes me to the front door again and he says, Father, she's forgotten everything except her Hail Mary. So 12 times a day, she asks if we prayed our rosary, and 12 times a day, we pray it. Our Lady may not answer your prayers the way you're expecting her to, but she will always give you what's best for your eternal happiness. And Our Lady is a good mother. She doesn't hold grudges. We all know that when a mom is angry at her kids, she still loves them. And Our Lady is no different. And no matter what kind of sins we've committed, no matter how many times we've committed them, Our Lady is still willing to help us, even considering everything that we've done against her Son and our Savior. Let me give you another example of this. This goes back about 2008, I think it was, and it was at the retreat house in Los Gatos, California. We had a Protestant minister coming on retreat with us. Now, this Protestant minister had started off as a Catholic. He had been baptized and had graduated from parochial school right when everything was going crazy in the church, so the mid to late 60s. And after he had graduated from high school, he had apostatized. He had gone off to become a Protestant. And then in the 1970s, he had studied to become a Protestant minister. Now, by this time, about 17 years ago, he had quite a thriving ministry in the Midwest, in Ohio to be precise. And this minister at that time had a college-aged nephew who was a traditional Catholic. And the nephew was coming on retreat with us, so he asked his uncle, hey, uncle, would you like to come on retreat with me? So the minister said, well, okay, I guess I can see if I like the silence. Now, of course, we priests were a bit hesitant what it was going to be like to have a Protestant minister on retreat with us, but we thought, well, hey, you know, let's just hope for the best and see what God's grace might do. So the minister came along with his nephew, and the first half of the retreat went well, fine. He was enjoying the silence, great. Then, halfway through the retreat, suddenly, he bursts into the door, and he says, oh my gosh, Father, he says, I realize what I've done. I've got to become a Catholic again. Now, as I say, whenever you get a big change like this, you know that the Mother of God has got to be behind it. And so I asked him, I said, by any chance, since you've been a Protestant minister, have you kept up any kind of devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary? And he got this quirky sort of a smile on his face, and he said, well, he said, 6 years ago, my sister-in-law gave me a rosary for Christmas and made me promise to pray it every day. I've been doing that for the last 6 years. Does that count? I said, oh, yeah, definitely. And so it was very beautiful because at the end of that retreat, this ex-Protestant minister made a public profession of his Catholic faith at the end of the retreat in front of all the other retreatants. Now, as a postscript to that story, about 8 years ago, I was preaching at the Society's church in St. James in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And after the mission, this lady comes up to me in the vestibule and she says, hey, Father, do you remember this Protestant minister who was on retreat with you a few years ago? I said, well, yeah, who could forget him? And she said, well, he's my brother-in-law. She said, she was the lady who had given him the rosary. And she said, oh, yeah, I thought I'd let you know that my brother-in-law, he loves being a Catholic again, and he's so devoted to the Blessed Virgin. He prays 15 decades of the rosary every day without fail. So that's a beautiful postscript to that already beautiful story of conversion. So Our Lady wants to help you to get to heaven precisely because she's your spiritual mother. But Father, you might say, why would Our Lady want to help me? I'm such a big sinner. That brings us to the second reason why you should be devoted to the Blessed Virgin, because Mary is the refuge of sinners. You may remember from your church history that in the Middle Ages, in certain countries of Western Europe, that if someone had been accused of a crime, all they had to do was to run into the church, into the sanctuary, up by the altar. And as long as they remained within the sanctuary, they could not be prosecuted for the crime that they had committed. Now, Our Lady is this sanctuary. She is the refuge of sinners. And if you sincerely love and serve Mary, she will make sure that God forgives you your sins. There's a beautiful story to illustrate this in the life of St. John Vianney, the Curé of Ars. It's told that in France in the mid-1800s, there was a certain pious woman who had recently been widowed. Her husband had unfortunately given up the practice of his faith decades earlier, and even more unfortunately, he had gone on to commit suicide by jumping off a bridge and drowning in the river below. Well, you could imagine the poor widow. She was beside herself with grief, considering the damnation of her husband's soul. And so she decided to make a pilgrimage to Ars to speak with the Holy Curé. And while she was waiting in line to go to confession to the saint, the curé comes out of the confessional, looks around the crowd. Of course, he had never seen her before in his life. And he comes right up to her, and he whispers in her ear, "Your husband is saved." Well, you could imagine the effect that had on her. "But Father," she said, "my husband committed suicide." And the saint said, "But the Blessed Virgin gave him this extraordinary grace that he was able to make a perfect act of contrition between the time that he jumped off the bridge and the time that he drowned in the river below." Again, the lady could hardly believe it. "But why did the Blessed Virgin give my husband this extraordinary grace?" she asked. And the saint, obviously enlightened by God, said, "Do you remember how every Saturday you used to pick flowers from your backyard garden and ask your husband to place them in a vase before the statue of the Blessed Virgin in the church in your home village?" The lady nodded her head. "It was because of that little act of devotion," the saint said, "that your husband did to Our Lady for your sake, that the Blessed Virgin gave him this extraordinary grace. As a result," the saint concluded, "your husband is saved. He's in purgatory, waiting for your prayer." So you see how generous Our Lady is. Even for the smallest thing that you do for her, she will reward you 100-fold. Our Lady will help you to avoid sin. She'll help you to overcome temptations. She'll help you to change your life. But you've got to ask for her help. If you do not ask, it's like you're tying her hands, and she won't be able to give you those graces from God that she knows you need. But if you do pray to her, if you do ask your mother for her help, it's like you're untying her hands, and she'll dispense to you those graces from God that she knows you need to save your soul. So we've seen these two reasons why you should be devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Firstly, because she is your spiritual mother, and secondly, because she is the refuge of sinners. There are so many different devotions that we can all practice daily to Our Lady: praying the daily rosary, wearing the brown scapular, the green scapular, miraculous medal, etc. But there's one little devotion that I would like to encourage all of you to practice, called the Three Hail Marys. It's an ancient practice that was revitalized by St. Leonard of Port Morris, a 17th century Capuchin friar. St. Leonard says, "Twice a day, when you wake up and when you go to bed, kneel down and pray three Hail Marys in honor of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception and her holy purity. St. Leonard says that if you persevere in this little devotion to the Blessed Virgin, that God will give you three special graces. The first grace is chastity according to your state of life. Second, that if you have the misfortune to offend God by committing a deliberate mortal sin, you'll be able to make a good confession as soon as possible. And the last grace is the final and ultimate grace of salvation. So for such a small price, it only takes 1 minute every morning and every evening. That's not enough to kill anyone. God is willing to give you so many graces. And to encourage you and your families to this little devotion, St. Alphonsus de Liguori, in his beautiful book on the glories of Mary, relates a story. In Naples, Italy, in the 1400s, there was a certain gentleman of the town who had completely scandalized everyone because he had given up the practice of his Catholic faith. Indeed, he made a mockery of it at every chance he got. But this gentleman was also well known in the city because he had a pet monkey. And at dinner time, when everyone had sat down at the dining room table, the gentleman would take out this little silver bell and ring it. And the monkey would come out of the kitchen dressed up in a little red fez and a little red velvet coat. And the monkey would serve the plates to the guests and then do a few tricks before returning to the kitchen. Now, one day, a holy old priest of Naples heard about the gentleman and about his monkey, and he thought he'd teach him a lesson. So the priest comes down to the gentleman's house. He knocks on the door. He's let in by the servant. And the gentleman comes down to meet the priest in the parlor. "Well, Father," the gentleman exclaimed, "I never thought I'd see a priest darken my doorway. You know what I think of the Catholic faith, that it's a bunch of hooey." And the priest just meekly smiled and nodded and said, Oh, yeah, I've heard what you think. But," he said, "I've also heard about your pet monkey, and I quite like to see him do his tricks." "Very well, Father," the gentleman says. "Come into the dining room, and once everyone's here, you'll see the monkey do his performance." Once everyone had arrived, they all sat down at the dining room table, and the gentleman rang the little silver bell. But no monkey came out of the kitchen. Perplexed, the gentleman rang the silver bell a second time, but still no monkey. "He's never been late before," the gentleman exclaimed. "I don't know where he could be." "Why don't we go through your house," the priest suggested, "until we find your monkey?" And that's what they did. They all went from room to room around the gentleman's house until they finally found the monkey in the gentleman's bedroom. And there was the monkey shivering and shaking beneath the gentleman's bed. And the closer the priest came towards the monkey, the further the monkey receded into the back corner of the room and began hissing and spitting at the priest. "He's never done anything like this before," the gentleman exclaimed. "I don't know what's got into him." "I think I know what the problem is," the priest said. And then, addressing the monkey, he continued, "Come out from under the bed and tell us who you are." And the monkey, still shivering and shaking, came out from beneath the bed and began to speak to the gentleman. "I am a demon from hell," he said, "who attends to your every bid and call under the form of this monkey, but I remain under your bed every night, waiting for the first time when you will forget that abominable custom taught you by your mother of praying three Hail Marys before you go to bed. For then, and only then, do I have permission to strangle you in your sleep and to drag your soul to the fires of hell." Instantaneously, the monkey disappeared in a cloud of smoke, and you could imagine the gentleman turned white, and he turned to the priest, and the priest said to him, "Thank God that even though you have made a complete mockery of the Catholic religion, you have still kept up this one devotion taught you by your mother of praying three Hail Marys in honor of Our Lady. It is thanks to the Mother of God that you are not already dead and burning in hell." Immediately, the gentleman knelt down and asked the priest to hear his general confession. St. Alphonsus relates that that man made such a good conversion that afterwards he was the edification of the city of Naples, and that he was best known for his tender devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let this little example then be an encouragement to you and your families to pray these three Hail Marys each day. Parents, teach this devotion to your children. Grandparents, teach it to the grandkids. Don't forget your three Hail Marys, and don't forget to look under your bed. As we come to the end of our parish mission now, let's sum up in three sentences everything that we've seen during these spiritual exercises. God has created you to enjoy the happiness of heaven one day. He has died to save you from the fires of hell. Now he asks you to convert. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.